Thank you very much, ladies. I enjoy that. Here's a question. By the way, you can take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 37. But while you're turning, how many of you guys like to sing? Raise your hands. All right, that's good. That's good to see. Sometimes you get amongst teenage fellas, and they think that's just something that girls are supposed to do. But you know, there, in the Bible, you find there were men singers. And there were lady singers. There may be some of you guys in here, and you'd say, well, I think when guys sing, that's just sort of sissy. Well, if you think that, I just encourage you to look at a guy in the Bible. His name happened to be David. Remember that sissy? And of all things, you know what David played? The harp. What would you think at Camp Barnabas? Some scrawny seventh grade kid comes in, and he comes in, and he's playing a harp. There'd be some of you, you'd be on top of that. You'd be like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, I'm sure Goliath probably would have done that too until a rock hit him right between the eyes. I want you to know, guys, that it's a great thing. It's a masculine thing. It's a great thing to be musical. If God's given you that talent, you ought to develop it. And the truth is this, I wish that I probably had 10 times the amount of music guys that we've graduated to put them out in churches to lead music ministry. There's a great need. And so anyway, I hope that for some of you, you come to a place like Camp Barnabas, that maybe God would stir some musical fires in your heart. You know, some of you guys, you need to learn to get up in a nursing home service and lead music. You say, man, there's no way that I could do that. Listen, if you can work a pump handle, do that. Work a pump handle, just like I'm doing. Do it right now. I'm going to wait until everybody does it. Listen, I got all day. All right, now guys, listen. You stop now, all right? Quit beating yourself. If you can do that, you can lead music, at least to get started. All right? It's really no problem. It's just a matter of swallowing your pride and saying, okay, I'm going to do this. Some of you are adventurous and you'll jump in to a pool and not know how to swim, or you'll jump out of a tree and hope you don't break your leg. Well, some of you need to incorporate some of that boldness into your service for the Lord. And so anyway, I hope that you'll think about it. And this week, one of my desires for camp is that you would get an idea that you can serve God, you can serve Him in ministry and have fun and enjoy it. You really can. I do. And does it have its rough spots? It does, but so does plumbing. You know, roofing. I've done all those, and I'm glad I'm a preacher and not a plumber, because I would destroy things. But anyway, I hope that you understand that. Now, how many of you in here are juniors or seniors? Would you raise your hands, juniors or seniors? Okay. All right, I'll tell you what. After the service, if you're interested, I've got some material from the college that I'd love to put in your hands. If you'd be interested in coming to Ambassador in the future, a catalog and application just for you to look at, and you can see me after the service. I'll be over by the fireplace, and I'll have that. And here at the college, I never have put a hard sell on people. Listen, if God doesn't lead a person to Ambassador, who am I to try to lead them and to force it? But if you're here and God has called you into full-time Christian service, if you're here and you'd say, I'd just like to get a good Bible foundation, I'm going to tell you, I know of a great place that specializes in those two things. I appreciate our faculty. I appreciate Brother Comfort, our founder. And that's what our school is all about. So I want to put some information in your hands. All right? Okay, Psalm 37 this morning. And we're going to read one verse in a moment. And I'm going to take this hour, this preaching hour. I won't preach an hour, but it's a preaching hour. But I want to take it a moment to teach you a very important principle. And it's one that I believe that many people your age are missing, and they misunderstand. So let me read the verse, and then we'll pray, and then I'll get started. Psalm 37, verse number 4. The psalmist writes, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our Father, I thank You, Lord, for this week and the work that I believe You've done in many hearts. Lord, thank You for folks drawing closer to You, and thank You, Lord, for breaking down barriers. Just learning of a situation last night in which, God, You just touched a heart in a special way. I thank You for that. And Lord, in this time that we have together for this hour, I pray, Lord, that you would help me as I try to explain this principle to these young people. Lord, I pray that they'd grasp it now and that it would guide them throughout the rest of their lives. And Lord, I pray for the hardest heart that's in this room. That Lord, somehow this morning, and Lord, even throughout the day, that you would soften it. And that, Father, a tenderness would return that would be there, that Lord would greatly benefit them, and Father, that would help them in the days to come. And so, Lord, help us now to understand this verse, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about the worst advice you could ever hear. You say, the worst advice you could ever hear. Have you ever gotten bad advice before? Let me tell you guys a little secret. Sometimes some of the worst advice you will ever get is from your peers. Those that are your age. You say, does that mean I should never talk to anybody? No, that's not what I'm saying. But if you're making a great life choice, the last thing you need to do, young lady, is get your flock of hens that are around you and to bare your heart and say, all right, let's take a vote. And whatever they vote on, you say, all right, that's what I'm going to do. That's horrible advice. I remember one of the worst pieces of advice I ever saw anybody get was during my college years. We had a freshman in our dorm who was from New York State. And he was love struck. There's some of you in this room, you say, I am love struck right now. I'm 14 and I'm love struck. I don't know, at that age, maybe you'd do well to be struck by something else rather than what you think is love, but anyway, this guy, I mean, when you looked at him, if it was possible, you could just see pupils, his pupils shaped like hearts. I mean, he was just mesmerized by this young lady. Well, he had told several people in the dorm, especially one guy, he was seeking out advice as to how to impress this young lady. And he got some horrible advice. The guy that he asked was not very successful in the ladies' department to start with. And really, to be quite honest, the guy that he asked was not a very spiritual person. Now, some of you say, well, this happened at Ambassador. But you know, just like Ambassador or Camp Barnabas, just because this is our location doesn't mean we're spiritual. That's why God wants to work in your heart this week. But the gentleman said, oh, he said, I'm in love with this girl. What can I do to win her affection? And the other guy said, oh, let me tell you how to do it. He said, you need to invite her to the Valentine's banquet, and this is the way it's done. He said, go to the florist and get roses. Now, let me stop for just a moment. Do you know up to this point, this guy who had the liking for the girl had hardly talked to her at all? Keep that in mind, okay? Yeah, it's like you come out of Camp Barnabas and you get a rose from like a total stranger. That would freak you out, would it not? If it doesn't, it should. But it didn't stop there. Not only did he say, listen, get roses, he said also, he said, go buy Hershey Kisses. And he said, tape Hershey Kisses to the stem of those roses, to those, I guess the petals are up here, but you know, to, he said, if you'll just tape those Hershey Kisses and give them to her and ask her out, it'll be great. I was working at McDonald's. The boy called me up and he said, hey, this is what I was told. What do you think? And I was like, don't do that. That's tacky. You'd do better just to give her one, but don't, you know, give her several and tape her. I don't think you ought to do that. And he did. And you know what happened as well as I do. I mean, she was like, uh-uh. Nada. Niet. I mean, any way you could say no. I mean, she was like, that is not for me. That was some horrible advice. But now I'm going to tell you something. It may very well be that before you came to Camp Barnabas, you've been listening to some people, if I could be honest, to give you just as foolish advice. Who do your parents think they are? Man, listen, you're growing up, you're becoming an adult. You don't need to listen to them. You know, I just as soon listen to somebody go, wah, 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 wah. You ever watch the Peanuts thing where you have the one guy who just, you can't understand a word he's saying, but it's like, wah, 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 wah. That's about the value of that kind of advice. But you know what I find, young people? I find that there are a lot of times people are more ruled by their emotions and by their friendship from their peers and advice than they are the Bible, the Word of God. And when the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart, you know where what a lot of people pull out of that verse? This is what they pull out of it. Ooh, God's going to give me the desires of my heart. I desire to be married. I desire to have a car. I desire to have this. I desire to have that. And God is going to give me the desires of my heart. Oh, that's great. But they didn't read the first part of the verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of the heart. Let me tell you one of the worst pieces of advice that you'll ever hear. You've heard it from me, but don't follow it. The worst piece of advice you'll ever hear is this: follow your heart. You say, that's not what Disney tells me. Disney tells me if I follow my heart, Prince Charming will be there. There'll be a castle on a hill, fireworks behind it. Happy bliss the rest of my life. You know, that message just doesn't come from Disney. You know where else it comes from? Hollywood. I'm going to make a very strong statement, but you hear me. I think that one of the biggest batch of liars ever hatched on the face of earth reside in Hollywood. You say, I believe that's an overstatement. You'll not think it whenever I talk to young people who take the same steps that they see in a Hollywood movie, and instead of anything, everything ending up great, it ends up horrible. That's real life. There's some of you guys, you can quote every scene on a movie screen and you're like, wow, it's going to turn out that way. I promise you, it won't. The devil sells you a batch of goods. He's a liar. He's the father of it. But Hollywood says, listen, follow your heart. Young lady, let me tell you something right now. It's something that's very much impassioned me over the last few months. You know what I've seen? I've seen sometimes people say, well, my heart tells me to do this. And in the process, they rip their parents' heart apart, they rip their friends' hearts apart, and they just go do their own thing. You know why? Because they've learned to follow their heart. But I want to impress upon you something this morning. Hey, if you're talking about the desires of your heart, if you're going to follow the desires of your heart, first of all, you need to be following the Lord. You got to get it in that order. You delight yourself in the Lord, and you know what? When you do that, the desires of your heart will be what they need to be. Don't you, just listen. Turn Disney off for a moment. Turn Hollywood off for a moment and understand this. Before you follow your heart, you better first of all make sure you're following God. Then when you follow the Lord, He gives you the desires of your heart. Do you see the order? You better not miss it. You know, there's some of you young ladies here, you say, I have a desire to be married. That's a good desire. I don't think that's abnormal. Now, some of these guys are starting to grow up. They're putting their army men down. And their Legos. And, you know, maybe one day in their heart, they say, I would like to get married. That's, you know, in time, that happens to be a great desire. But let me tell you something. I've seen people even your age, they let that desire, they're so more caught up in that desire than they are the Lord. And guess what? They make a big mistake. You don't have to worry about some young man stealing your heart when God has your heart. And fellas, listen, when God has your heart, listen, your desires will be what they need to be. And so I want to give you a few things to think about this morning. Now, first of all, I want to show you a delight, and it's in verse number 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, at the very beginning. What does it mean to delight? You know, how do you delight in something? I one time I went to a church fellowship and they had this stuff called Cherry Delight. I love cherries. My wife went to Aldi's the other day. I used to didn't like to go to the grocery store, but now I do because I like to buy stuff I like to eat. And I bought some cherries. I love cherries. Man, I was eating them and spitting the pits out. And I mean, next thing I know, I'm through 3/4 of this box thinking I'm going to have to go to Aldi's to cover up my transgression and buy another box so my wife won't get upset. You ever eat something that brings you delight? You ever have something that some activity that brings you delight? Man, you're just like, wow, this is I really enjoy this. Do you know, young people, God didn't create you to primarily enjoy physical delight. You say, now does that mean we're like bored and in pain all of it? No, please, no. But you know, God created you to delight in Him. You know, I'm getting older. When I see a sunset or a sunrise, I used to be like, ooh, that's beautiful. Now I'm even more amazed at who hung the stars and who hung the sun, and I learned to delight in Him. But young people, I want to tell you right now, one of the greatest habits you could ever have in your life, one of the greatest attributes you could have is learn what it means to delight in the Lord. And I want to talk to you about that. We preachers are really good at throwing out terms to you. You need to delight yourself in the Lord. That sounds real spiritual, doesn't it? Then we don't tell you what that means. Delight yourself in the Lord. Well, how do you do that? Okay, that sounds spiritual. That sounds good. Well, I want to take several Bible ideas to encourage you in how you as a teenager, you as a young man whose hands and feet now are huge and you trip and fall everywhere. You know how some of you guys are. Some of you young ladies, as you're growing and you're maturing, now your hair is doing different things and you become more interested in you're at such an interesting stage of life. It's great. Now, I'm glad I passed through it. I don't have to go back through it again. But it is. It's a time that you can never that can be a special time in your life. But even at this point in your life, when you're not a deacon, you're not a pastor's wife, you're not a Sunday school teacher, did you know it is possible for you to delight in the Lord? You know, sometimes I even looking here, you know, watching some countenances, you know. Sometimes you ever wonder what's going on through people's minds? I do as a preacher sometimes. I see somebody and they're like this while I'm preaching. So what's going through their minds? Nothing. I do. Sometimes I look in a crowd like this. Some of you have tired, weariness. Listen, for heaven's sakes, you're 14 years old. You shouldn't be tired until you're 80. Come on. You know, others of you, it's funny. Sometimes in a service like this, you just see it all over somebody's face. But for a moment, I want to just talk to you about how you can delight in the Lord. I wonder, do you really know what that means? I'll be quite honest, I probably didn't until I started really thinking about it. Although I had experienced it in my life. How do you delight in the Lord? I believe that idea sometimes carries the idea of taste. Let's talk about that for a moment. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 34 and verse number 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, here's a question for you. When it says taste and see that the Lord is good, what does that mean? I mean, you're like, well, you taste with your tongue and you lick things and taste them. And so, does it mean that physically? No, it's a figurative sense. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you do that? Well, if you're not in your Bibles, you're certainly not going to taste and see that the Lord is good. If you're not faithful in church, you're not going to taste and see that the Lord is good. If you don't spend time talking to God, you're not going to taste and see that the Lord is good. Young people, I'm talking about you can't delight yourself in the Lord unless you strive to have a walk with God. When's the last time you've tasted the Lord to see that He is good? Now, some of you are like, okay, this is way beyond my realm of human comprehension. It ought not be. When's the last time God answered a prayer? When's the last time you looked in that book? Listen, some of you, maybe when you came to camp, you were hardly in the Bible, and now all of a sudden your mind and eyes are like, whoa, I've not seen this much in a long time. But when's the last time you read the Bible and you were like, wow? The other day I'm reading through the book of Nehemiah right now. And the other day I was reading where it talked about how that God strengthened Nehemiah's hands for the work. Man, I came away from that and I was like, man, I know that was written thousands of years ago, but that was for me. Thank you, God. You say, that doesn't happen in my life at all. Listen, as a Christian teenager, you need for that to happen. You say, that doesn't happen very often. Well, then seek for it to happen more often, but you've got to be in this book. It should not be abnormal to preach to a group of Christian teens, taste and see that the Lord is good, and they'd be like, oh, wow, that should be, the norm should be, man, I every once in a while and every day and it's every week, God is dealing in my heart and I'm tasting of His goodness. You ever taste something that's just great? You know, maybe a favorite food that you have. I don't know. What's a favorite food you have? Yeah. Pizza. What kind of pizza? Who make, like, what's the best? If I said, hey, I'll buy you a pizza, what would you ask for? And don't say something frozen from Walmart.
Boy, those are actually pretty
good. Papa John's, Pizza Hut, Domino's?
Yeah, probably Domino's.
Okay. We used to go to Little Caesars a lot, and we still do. Not because it's my favorite, but it's $5, you know? It's like, hey, let's devour it. But you know, when you eat something that you like and you taste it, boy, it just brings joy. It causes you to delight. I mean, you're like, wow, this is my favorite. God said, I want you to be that way with me. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 103. The psalmist said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Some of you say, well, that's sort of overkill. I mean, the Bible, sweeter than honey? Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. I want every one of you to look this way, especially for those of you that are raised in Christian school or you're homeschooled or you're raised in a Christian home. Let me tell you something. I think one of the greatest scourges in your life is you get so familiar and you say, I've gone through the gamut. I've gone through the rut. Yes, I know I've done this. I've memorized tons of Scripture. I'm afraid sometimes we have kids that have memorized so much Scripture, but they never truly tasted this book to see that it's sweeter than honey. Now, don't you leave out of here and say, oh, that's a good point. I'm going to make that to my mom and dad. I don't need to memorize Scripture anymore. Don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. But you know, sometimes you can have the very greatest thing right before your lap and take it for granted, and it doesn't affect you the way that it ought. You know, one of the greatest habits you can leave, when you leave this place, young person, you're just like, well, how about showering and brushing my teeth? Those are great habits, but I'm going to tell you one that's even more important than that, and that's being in this book and tasting the sweet words of God. You want to have the right delight in your heart? Young lady, would you like to marry the right guy? I'm not talking about a jerk. I'm talking about a guy who has it all together and loves God and is handsome to boot. Right now, delight yourself in the Lord and taste and see that the Lord is good. Not only the idea of taste, but let's look a little bit further. The idea of smell. You ever smelled things that were very, very pleasant? Back over a year ago in January, I had a concussion. I fell back and hit my head, and for a couple of months especially, I just did not feel very human. But during the course of that, I lost my sense of smell. Even now, when I'm under a lot of stress, boy, my nose just goes berserk. I smell everything that's not there. And unfortunately, it's not like cheeseburgers and pizza and roses. It's just usually a horrid smell. But I'll never forget, I was driving down the road, and I was with my son. And all of a sudden, in my nose, I had this horrible smell. I was like, I looked at Jared. I said, Jared, did we just drive by something? He said, oh, yeah, Dad. He said, we drove by a skunk. I've never been so excited in my life to smell a skunk. I was like, I think it's coming back a little bit. He was like, really? I was like, yeah. Let's turn around and drive by there again. No, I didn't do that. But, you know, smell is a very, very, that's a very important sensory thing, and when you lose it, boy, I'll tell you, I mean, now every once in a while, if I'm around a strong perfume or if something's just right, I can smell it. But I've lost it in part. But there's some of you, you're like, oh, I tell you, I love to smell the sweetest fragrances. In Song of Solomon 2:1, it says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. We find a picture of the fragrance of the Lord. You know, we don't like smelling unpleasant things. And some of you are like, that's why I'm glad tomorrow morning I can go home again, because camp, sometimes people don't smell very well. You know, you run out of clothes before you run out of week. You ever had that happen? It's like, oh, I'll wear, it's not standing up, so I'll wear that, you know. But hey, when's the last time really God has been a sweet fragrance to you? I mean, just where you just inhaled and you were like, oh man, that's just a breath of fresh air. That ought to be the norm in your life. That ought to be what you seek for. Talks about the idea of smell. He talks about the idea of taste. What about the idea of hearing, the sense of hearing that you have? You know, there's certain things that I hear. When I hear them, it brings great joy to my heart. My kids, sometimes my wife will be like, honey, I've got to go and go back to see my parents. And so she'd take all the kids. And so they would all be away. I would be at home, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just laying there. And I'm like, oh, boy. I mean, all evening, I didn't hear people chase. Usually the noises that I would despise, all of a sudden the noises I missed, you know. Kids bounding down the stairs. You've got like 20 steps, but you only hear 3. Boom, boom, boom. Squeals and screams. Ah! I mean, just the Beal household's just like anybody else's. And then I just lay there at night, and I'm like, wow, this is way too quiet. Get back home. Text my wife early the next day. Boy, you know, come home soon. I miss those, but I love hearing those noises. Missed hearing them. But you know, there ought to be a voice that you desire to hear every day. And that's the voice of God. You know, if you're here, let me make another. Teenagers like bold, dogmatic statements. I like them too, as long as I can back them up. But you know, if you're here and you don't like to hear preaching, chances are you're not delighting yourself in the Lord. You're here and you're like, I would just soon watch paint dry than to hear Richard Harper. I'll tell you what, the real problem is you're not delighting yourself in the Lord. There's something else that has your heart. When it comes to hearing, that's why you ought to be at every youth activity. Listen, when your youth pastor or your pastor has something, go to it. Why? Because in the course of that, you're going to hear the Word of God preach. You're going to hear the words of the Lord. Let that be a sweet sound to you. If you're here and you'd say, I just don't like hearing that, well, you don't delight yourself in the Lord. What about touch and feel? You ever had, you know, you have a sense of touch. You have a sense of feeling. Now, I'm very careful about this when it comes to feeling, because I find that a lot of people, they're so run over by their feelings. Oh, it just feels right. Can I stop for just a second? Let me give you a piece of advice, young person. When you say, well, this relationship just feels right, it's not, does it feel right? It is it right? You say, well, I like the way that it makes me feel. That's exactly the same rationale that the crystal meth user uses. Did you know that? You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I've never done it before, but listen, for people to keep going back to something that causes your teeth to rot out, ages you 20 years older than you are, and causes you to get time in jail. I don't think they do it because it feels horrible at the time. They do it because they think at the moment it's the way that it makes them feel. And your feelings can destroy you. But I will tell you this. It's just like the songwriter wrote years ago in a song entitled, It's Real. He said, so I prayed to God in earnest, and caring not what folks said, I was hungry for the blessing, my poor soul it must be fed. Then at last by faith I touched Him, and like sparks from smitten steel, just so quick salvation reached me. Oh, bless God, I know it's real. Without sounding spooky or weird, when's the last time God's touched your heart? delight yourself also in the Lord. You know, preachers need God to touch their hearts. Do you know preachers' kids need God to touch their hearts? Every last one of us, delight thyself also in the Lord. And then the idea of sight. When's the last time you've seen the Lord work in your life? Job said in Job 42:5, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. He wasn't saying, God, I see you now perfectly as I would see a human being. He was saying by faith, I see you for who you are. You know, it's sad to say, but it's the things of this earth that are more real to us than the things that are eternal. And it causes us to live in such a fashion. You know, I've never seen God with my two eyes. Never have. One time I was preaching to a group of his kindergartners through sixth graders in an academy Bible class. That was tough. You say, why is that tough? You've got kindergartners who are thinking about puppy dog tails and snails, and then you've got sixth graders who are on the verge of manhood. You know, it's like, okay, wow. Girl one time came to me. She put her hands on her hips and said, I'm 12 years old now. I'm a woman. Okay. But you know, when you're dealing with that kind of an age group, and I asked the question, I said, how many of you boys and girls, all of them, their parents were preparing for ministry. I said, how many of you have ever seen God? A little boy named Ryan. I said, Ryan, you've seen God? He said, mm-hmm. I said, Where did you see God? He said, I seen Him on television. That little boy was as sincere as could be. Blew my illustration all to smithereens. I looked at him and I said, Ryan, now I want you to know something. What you saw on TV may have been somebody pretending to be God, but it wasn't really God. You know, you're trying to explain this to a kindergartner. And he said, Ryan, do you understand that? And he looked at me. Just blank as could be. He didn't know. By the way, he's figured it out now. He didn't really see God. I never have. I've never seen Him. But young people, I want to tell you something. When I look at a sunrise, or I look at a sunset, or you know what? I look in a room like this and see a person and God has touched their heart. You know what? I see the work of God everywhere. You know, sometimes there are people just like you that question whether or not God is real. They wonder that. I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about teenagers in Christian homes. Sometimes you get disillusioned. You look at the world around you. But young Christian teenager, I want to tell you, delight yourself in the Lord. See His beauty. See His works. Hear what He has to say. So delight. You want to get this right, listen to me. Step one is not the desires of your heart. Step one is delight yourself also in the Lord. Now, we talked about delight. Let's talk about desires now. Let's talk about, this is not a trick question. I'm going to ask you a question. I expect a little bit of input. Let me tell you what I mean by it not being a trick question. If I ask you, what is something that you desire? I'm not looking for a guy to fold his hands with pious look and say, I desire to read the Bible through this year. That may be a desire. I'm not trying to be superficial, pious here. Okay? You understand what I'm driving at? What is something that a teenager would desire? Yes? A Lamborghini. Well, that ain't going to happen. But anyway, that's... All right, yes, sir. Okay, a good college education. What's something else they desire? A job. Okay, that's a good... Now, I tell you, I know some teenagers who don't want a job. They want to live on the couch the rest of their lives eating Doritos. But okay, yes, sir. Team to win the championship. You're so carnal. Listen, I have a desire for my team to win the championship. You know, there's Sports teams that I keep up with, that's a desire. Okay, now guys have spoken up. If you're a male, you have to keep your hands down now, all right? Ladies, yes. To be able to what? To make friends and such. But, you know, and I'm going to tell you something about that's a very real desire, yes. Shoes. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Clothes.
All right. Desires. Yes.
Food.
She said that very as a matter of fact. Yes, ma'am. In the back. Say it.
Sleep.
Yeah, that's good. Now, let me tell you something here. By the way, I appreciate the candor. And I didn't think about shoes, but yeah, that guys don't think about that. We four-wheelers and, you know, no, but, you know. Now, there was one that was conspicuously missing because who wants to be the person to say, one day I want to get married? Now, right now, there may be some of you guys, you just fold your arms and you're like, not me. I don't, every girl's like my sister. I just am not interested in it. But you know what? Honesty has to compel us. Listen, there's some view of the male gender in here. You're like, man, I really, I have a desire one day to just to get married. Or a young lady right now, you that's a desire. Shoes, friendships, food. Let me tell you how you have the right desires. You have to go back to step one. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Because you know what? Sometimes people have desires for the wrong friends. Hey, if I could broaden this and quit preaching and go to Midland, sometimes people have a desire for the wrong clothing. Young ladies, despite what the Instagram culture teaches you, you don't have to promote yourself in a seductive way. Any creep that's attracted to that has the wrong thing in mind. Now, if you've made pictures with duck lips and all that other stuff, I haven't seen it, all right? I'm not here to knock you for that, all right? Like I said the other day, I'm on Instagram. I just don't sit there and snap 50 shots and make a montage of myself, necessarily. You know? But I'm just telling you something, young ladies. Sometimes, you know, our desires get out of whack, and it comes in friendships. It comes in the forms of maybe the certain desires that we have in clothing, you name it, music, whatever. And the reason we have the wrong desires is we're not delighting ourselves in the Lord. Listen, this is simple. This is elementary. You know, let me tell you something about my heart and something about yours. Number one, my heart can't be trusted. You're a preacher. Yeah, I know. And I'm going to be an honest one this morning. The desires of, you know, sometimes my heart desires to hurt people. You say, really? Yeah. When I get on a basketball court and a guy fouls me hard, and I'm not spirit-filled, my usual reaction is not to put my arm around them and say, man, that was a great hack. Huh? And what made it even worse is the ref didn't call it. How did you get by with that? No, I'm telling you, in my human nature, when I'm hurt, I have an instinct to hurt back. That's my heart, and that's yours too. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's your heart and mine. Let me tell you another thing about my heart. My heart and your heart is of the greatest importance to God. Right now in these years, and by the way, it's not just girls, but guys too put a high premium on their appearance. Now there are plenty of people that need to put a higher premium on their appearance just because they don't care at all. But you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing a very inordinate emphasis on appearance. And as a result, there's little emphasis on the heart. Hey, young lady, let me ask you which is better. Is it better for you to have the appearance of a fox, if I can say it that way, in a good connotation? Not like the animal that's short, stubby-legged with a, you know, eats wild animals and all this other stuff. Is it better for you to have that kind of an appearance where you're knocked down to everybody and yet your heart be hollow? Or for you to, yeah, you know what, you keep things up and you try to look okay, but in your heart is thriving? I'm going to tell you something. Beautiful people, those who put such an inordinate emphasis on the outside, are very prone to making some bad decisions that no amount of beauty can ever compensate for. I don't care how beautiful you are, if you marry a jerk, guess what? It doesn't matter how much makeup you buy, it doesn't matter how great you look, how you posture yourself in those pictures, your life's going to be miserable. But I'm going to tell you something, your heart's of the greatest importance. When God was choosing a king, He looked at David. He said, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart, is what the prophet said. I'm going to tell you something. You will make the right decisions when you make sure that the eternal is more important than the temporal. Now, I can tell you that, but you're the one that has to believe it. Is there a desire that you're really struggling with that you know is not right? Let me tell you why that desire is not right. It's because the delight is not there. You know, there's a lot more that I could say, but let me just sum it up like this. Young people, if I can beg you to do anything, when you leave this place, you have it in the right order. Delight yourself in the sight of the Lord. Have your delight in God. And then He'll give you the desires of your heart. It's important to have the right order. If you have desires up here, sometimes around some people, their famous phrase is, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. If that's the way you're living and your relationship with God is down here, God's going to give you what you wanted and He's going to send leanness to your soul. It's really important to do things in the right order. I built a house about 8 or 9 years ago and I hope I never have to do it again. I'm not a carpenter by trade. I like to dabble and I like to learn, and it was a very insightful experience, and God blessed in ways that I could never imagine. But you know what I learned? I learned that house had to be built in a specific fashion. You have to dig these things called footers, these ditches. I still remember one night, my oldest son Andrew, we were out there, it was late at night one night, and there was no lights out there, and we were working late nights getting the foundation ready to be poured. And Andrew came running across the field to me, and right before I was about to say, hey son, stop, he landed right in one of those footers, hit him right here, knocked the wind out of him. All I could hear was, But you know what we did? We poured that foundation, and then after that, we began to build up. Now, listen, there's some of you ladies here, you're not architects, but you know what? You've got good common sense. If I went up to you and I said, now listen, Sarah, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to build this house, but the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put the roof on first. She would look at me and be like, you know, with all due respect, Brother Beal, I've known you for years. You just preached at my church last year, but you're crazy. That's exactly what she'd say. That's probably a kind way she would say it. You know why? Because it's just common sense. You know, for you guys, I remember I never shaved until the first time I came to college. I came to college and then I started shaving. And my dad passed away when I was 15 years old. He always used an electric razor that I ever saw, so I didn't know how to shave. I bought a pack of razors and I bought some shaving cream. And you know what? I just watched my roommate. I watched him to see how he shaved. That's how I learned. And I still did a horrible job at it. He would take his face and he would wet it all up, get it all wet and all that. And after he got his face all wetted up there and clean, then he would take this stuff called shaving cream. Now, he would just put a little small blotch of it there and he'd rub it all over his face. And once he'd get that there, and then he would he'd take his razor and then he would shave. And I watched how he would do it. You know, he would usually stroke up, and then you get in these hard parts here, you know, and you just cut your nose off and all that other stuff. And then when he was done, he used to take a rag and he'd wipe it, just get his face, wash it all off, and then sometimes he'd put this smelly stuff on called aftershave. Now, fellas, I know some of you don't shave in here. Some of you are craving to shave right now. You're like, oh, I want to shave, I want to shave, I want to shave. One day you're going to be like, I don't want to shave, I don't want to shave, I promise you. But let's say Quincy, I walk over in your dorm tomorrow morning, and I go up there, and I've got my shaving cream, my razor, my towel, and all that, and you're standing there, you can't shave yet, you're just brushing your teeth. And let's say I go up there, and Quincy watches me, and the first item I grab for is the aftershave. And I take the aftershave, and I dump it in my hand. Just put it all over. You know, he's probably like, dude, you didn't shave yet, but whatever. And so after that, then I take the shaving cream, and I put the shaving cream in my hand. And I put a big old huge pile of it. That's what I did the first time I ever shaved. I didn't know you were supposed to use that much. I mean, it was like Mount St. Helens. And I put it on and still had a big pile left. And so let's say I put that down, and then after that I look in the mirror and I take the towel and I wipe it all off. I get my face really good and dry, and after I get it good and dry, I pull out the razor. You're like, I can't bear to look, and so you can't see anything, but all you hear is... You know what? How old are you, Quincy? 15 years old. You know what? This kid's got some sense about him. He's like, listen, you are absolutely crazy. You know why? Listen, in both of those instances, I'll tell you why. Because they were done out of order. Let me tell you something, young people. Right now, you better keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you let your desires get a hold of you and you follow your desires rather than following God first and foremost, listen, it'll always lead you astray. Just as foolish as it is to build a house first or build a roof instead of putting down your foundation, it's just as foolish to not delight in God and let your heart rule you. And you say, I'm just going to follow my heart. That's foolish advice. That's the worst you'll ever hear. Let this be a life principle that'll govern you. And I promise you this, it'll not lead you astray if you follow it. Let's bow our heads together. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. I'm not even going to ask for any kind of a formal invitation this morning. But young people, I'm going to tell you something. Every year, I see people just like you that would be spared a lot of grief if you had learned to delight yourself in the Lord first and then understand that the desires of your heart will be what they need to be. My heart is burdened. There may be some of you, you're very, very conscientious about your image. You're very conscientious about your appearance, but you've neglected your heart. You know, there are others of you, you know you have desires in your life right now that are not wholesome and healthy. And you know exactly why after hearing this. You know because you've not delighted yourself in the Lord. When's the last time you've tasted to see that He is good? When's the last time His words have delighted your ear? When's the last time you've sensed the intimate working of God in your heart? Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Father, Lord, I thank You for our time together this morning, and I just pray that, God, You would use this principle in a mighty way in the lives of these young people. Father, I pray that in the remaining time that they have here at Camp Barnabas, that, God, Your work and Your will would be done. And, Lord, I pray that You would help us to learn more and more each day what it means to delight ourselves in You. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.